and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday today, and Dad and I have some interesting stories going on, a couple of them, and then we're going to have Gerald Celente on as a guest, I think at what, 3:30, Dad?
At the bottom of the hour. We may bring him on a little bit early, probably 3:25. That way we could close up the show at 3:55. But it depends on if Gerald's ready to go at 3:25 or not. So we're bringing him in at the bottom of the hour. He's the owner and the printer and the writer, the primary writer for Trends Journal, which is one of the best publications you're ever going to get. I had a copy of it sent to me yesterday via email, and it went into all kinds of interesting commentary. And we're going to bring him on today because I really want him to talk about Syria. I want him to talk about Korea. I want him to talk about the deep state. I want him to go into detail on what his opinions are and if Trump's taking us to war or if this is just more saber rattling. So Gerald Celente, you've heard him on Alex's show. You've heard him on everybody else's show, including our show. One of the finest speakers out there, very articulate, very, very entertaining, incredibly good guest. So we're going to have him on at the bottom of the hour. By the way, this is an interesting article right now by Michael Goodwin, and it's from the New York Post, and it says, Trump is saying that we are not going into Syria. I thought we already went into Syria with missiles, but that's what he's saying. Among complaints that his aides are saying different things about Syria and his policy is confusing, President Trump emphatically cleared the air. We are not going into Syria, he said yesterday in an exclusive interview. Our policy is the same. It hasn't changed. We are not going into Syria. The president, speaking by phone Tuesday, called Syria President Assad a butcher for using gas on his own people. But, of course, in my opinion, Trump does not have that knowledge or that intel. But last week's successful missile strike was not the start of a campaign to oust the dictator. So we're getting different things from his cabinet and who he has in the War Department and what he's saying. Very, very disorganized group of people. I believe what's happened is he's had a huge blowback from his base, primarily from shows like this one and from the Hagman show and some of the other alternative media shows hammering Trump and holding his feet to the fire. Guys, this is exactly what I said we had to do back in November when he won this election on November the 8th, my birthday, my 61st birthday. And I said, look, I support him. I'm going to do everything I can to help get him elected. I'm going to continue to support him. But if he starts going sideways on what he's doing and the nonsense that he's doing right now or is going sideways to me, we're going to call him out. I'm not going to pretend like he's my buddy, that, you know, he's not accountable to us. I wrote a letter to one of my folks who get my emails from me every day, and they wrote me a really negative response to some of the stuff that I had sent out on Trump. And he said, we shouldn't say anything bad about the president. And I said, this is the exact same trap that we all fell into with George W. Bush after 9/11. Everybody thought, okay, well, he's the president. We've got to support him no matter what happens. And then we got the Patriot Act. Then we got the National Defense Authorization Act. Then we got the Department of Homeland Security. Then we went into this giant police state tyranny all because of George W., because we, the people, did not hold his feet to the fire. He is an employee of ours. Donald Trump is our employee, and as a manager, as a person who works for the corporation, as a person who's involved in the corporation, whatever your goal or role may be, it's we, the people of the United States, have a right to determine what this is going to be as far as our country is concerned, and we have a right to speak out against it if he decides he's not going to do what he said he was going to do. And personally, I believe, Austin, with all of my heart, because we had such a blowout from him. I mean, he lost half his base last week, lost half of it because of Syria, of the people that put him in. I guarantee you, if he starts going and doing rallies again, he's going to be getting a bunch of boos, because he can't allow himself to be caught up in this neocon, this Zionist, this Luciferian doctrine of this one world order of building these, destroying these nation states, allowing these Federal Reserve banks to install their puppet regimes. This has to stop. And as far as I'm concerned, with every breath that's left in me, I am not going to endorse him or speak highly of him if he continues doing this garbage. Now we know that China has said that if basically, Korea starts going whacked out and starts having nuclear reactors or whatever, they'll bomb their nuclear facilities. Whether or not that's true or not, I have no idea. I know we're sending a deployment over there of ships and naval vessels right now. And I think that's the biggest spark point we may have is going to be Korea. And we'll see then if the Korean relationship with China and the Korean relationship with Russia stands tough. Because, guys, this Korean dictator is repeatedly telling us he's going to nuke us. I mean, I don't know what else you need to do. It's kind of like being in the parking lot with a bully saying, I'm going to beat you. Finally, you have enough of it, and you just knock him out before he has a chance to make the first strike. Guys, remember, Korea has a submarine or maybe one or two submarines. They're old as dirt. I'm not sure if they're even capable of launching an ICBM, but if they get anything close to us with our waters and they launch something off the deck of the submarine, they could rain havoc on one of our coastal cities. And quite frankly, I think a lot of this is obfuscation. Korea hasn't done anything, and I think he's a lot more dangerous than Assad is, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of weird stuff going on right now. I don't know if it's obfuscation. I don't know if, like we talked about yesterday, this whole wartime rhetoric that we're starting to see again is basically just bread and circus for the masses to keep us focused on something else that's really going on, whether it be the Federal Reserve pulling more shady tactics, whether it's the economy starting to implode. I don't know, but it's definitely pretty strange. I mean, we haven't heard, as mainstream media isn't talking anything about what's going on with the immigration in Europe and the massive influx that's still rolling in here, except I just got an article today in here now. So the European Union Commission is now threatening to take EU member states like Hungary and Poland to court if they continue to defy their migrant relocation policy. Hungary and Poland have so far refused to take part completely in EU scheme to move another 160,000 migrants from Italy to Greece, the main entry points, to elsewhere in the EU, Hungary and Poland being on that list. They went on to say here, the Commission spokesperson said, if member states do not increase their relocation soon, the Commission will not hesitate to make use of its powers for those which have not complied, essentially threatening them by force if they don't sit there and submit to take in more refugees as we continue to bomb Syria now, apparently, is what we're actually engaged in. Hungary filed its own lawsuit against the migrant relocation policy, and the hearing at the European Court is due next month. They said the legal threats applied to Hungary due to an emerging bill that Hungary has delivered now that would shut down this entire migrant influx into this country whatsoever that they're trying to pass. So I can't blame Hungary and Poland whatsoever. This entire thing, whatever you want to call it, this scam that's going on in the Middle East with the United States and Russia being over there and everybody tearing up Syria and this gas pipeline and the civil war that started right after, you know, Assad decided he wasn't going to let the Qatar pipeline go in. This whole thing just is total obfuscation in my opinion, and it's been false flags after more false flags, one after another. So I'm very, very weary of what's really going on right now, and I'm trying to be very open and frosty about what's going on, Dad, because this is a lot of strange things that are happening, and me personally, I think a lot of stuff is happening behind the scenes right now that nobody is getting access to.
I think so too, Austin. I believe that we're being, like we were, led to the sleep to this, like sheep to the slaughter with all of this. I really do believe that we're only getting a little bit of what's really happening behind the scenes. I think the deep state is firmly in control. I think we've seen that now with the fact that all of the bad publicity and bad press towards Donald Trump has seemingly disappeared now from the mainstream media. I think they wanted him to capitulate. And I really believe that these guys, these neocons, these Zionists, these Sabbatean Kabbalists, these Luciferians, pick a title, whatever they are. This is the same group of people. It involves the Vatican Church, involves the Bank of the Vatican, it involves the CIA, it involves the Jewish Mafia, it involves other mafias, it involves drug running, child pedophiles, organ trafficking, slave trade, all of this through the CIA and through these other organizations globally, weapons transfer, weapons trafficking, all of this stuff.
Yep.
This deep state, this organized crime syndicate, I guess you could really call it that, a satanic organized crime syndicate is well in charge of the planet right now and the things that they're doing. By the way, I'm going to read this. I need, because Tyler Durden wrote this, and I think it's sooner or later this had to happen. This is Zero Hedge. This is in Sweden, and this is, he says this. It was just a matter of time before we were forced to write this incredibly ridiculous post. You knew it was coming. We knew it was coming, and now the day has finally arrived that some extreme leftist has called for the banning of automobiles as a means of preventing terrorist attacks. In other words, from having people run over you with their vehicles. You know, because the person driving the vehicles couldn't possibly be to blame. And while you may think such logic would be reserved for the kookiest of the liberal activists living in an isolated commune some 100 miles from any established commercial interests, it actually came from a reputable columnist, Eva Franchil, writing for a large Swedish newspaper. Per her translation from Breitbart London, Franchil's opinion piece referred to automobiles as effective murder machines that must be banned at once if our world leaders are truly committed in the cause of fighting terrorism. I don't even know what to say. This lady's off the deep end so far. Instead of cars, which she calls effective murder machines, Franchil says they must simply be removed from city centers and places where people gather if people are to be protected in the future. Vehicles are easy to steal, and so nothing has been able to stop their advance, she says. It just isn't reasonable that a big truck can be driven right into one of Stockholm's busiest streets on Friday afternoon, right before Easter. Yep, not reasonable at all that a motorist would be permitted to utilize a road. Outrageous when you really think about it. Austin, you know, just when I think I've looked into the bottom of the barrel and I've seen the dumbest human being on the planet. And I mean, I've seen some dumb ones. I mean, I've seen some dumb things. I've seen some crazy dumb things. This lady writes an article saying that these cars need to be banned in these busy city centers. Now, if she would have said something like this, the big city streets in Stockholm, and I've been there, you have too, that are extremely busy, which don't allow truck traffic or car traffic, they're pedestrian traffic only. They need to have some type of reinforced barricades put up around them to prevent people from driving their vehicles through crowds of people, even if they have these retractable steel posts that come up and down out of the concrete. Yep. If she would have said something actually reasonable like this, rather than banning cars in downtown city centers, she would have actually made some sense. This makes no sense at all that she wants to ban automobiles in these major cities. It's not possible because a lot of people don't realize this who've not been to Europe. There are many pedestrian areas in Europe. In fact, they're all over all of the old city centers, which were the tourist trap areas, and some of the busier cities have these same areas. If she said something like that, I would have no problem doing that if it's a pedestrian street. But if it's a basic thoroughfare that's going through the city, which is being required for use by people who are delivering goods and services to these different businesses, etc., there's absolutely no way she can block these streets or tell these folks they can't drive vehicles anymore. I don't know what to say. All I know is that another story out of Sweden, some guy riding in the back of a taxi with a Muslim driver had enough of it. He grabbed the Muslim by a chokehold and basically asked him, how do you think this feels? We don't want you guys here anymore. We've given you everything, and look what you've done to our country. So that's what this is turning into over there. What do you think, Austin?
Well, I called that months ago when that whole thing happened over there again with these drivers, these Muslim drivers that are stealing these trucks and running people over. I said that this is what they're going to start doing now. They do it every time with the guns. They're doing it with the vehicles now. They want to start banning cars and start pushing the autonomous vehicles that nobody's allowed to drive. And people always say, well, that's not possible. How are they possibly going to do that? Guys, all they have to do with a stroke of a pen with a New World Order, UN-controlled government, head, anybody driving a vehicle will be pulled over and arrested, and the vehicle will be seized. You're only allowed to use autonomous vehicles on the road. Granted, we don't have autonomous vehicles that are fully operational and full transit all the time on the road. You guys give it another couple of years, the rate that they're pushing this crap, and they're trying to ram it down everybody's throats and force us to accept it and say how good they are and how safe they are and how amazing they are, how good a fuel mileage they are, how much money it saves, except there's one problem with it. It's an AI-controlled vehicle that you do not have control of. They're even talking about that on some of the autonomous vehicles that don't even have steering wheels or pedals in them. It's fully autonomous. You can't even override it. Some of them only have a minor override with a little rubber steering wheel that, like, pops out of the dash in an emergency, and you can try and override it. It's ridiculous. This is exactly what I said before. I knew people were going to start pushing for this. Like you said, Dad, if they want to stop traffic through these really pedestrian areas. I've been over there too before. Some of the areas are straight all people. Cars try and drive through and they get through here and there. All they have to do is put up those big 6-inch steel poles that come in and out of the ground. They're on motors so they can manually push them up. They come up about 4 or 5 feet up in the air. You're not driving through them with anything. You'd have a hard time even pushing through them with an MRAP on some of those big security ones. So that's all they have to do, and that would make complete sense, as you just said, but that's not the liberal agenda. The liberal agenda is to come in and take all control, any type of ability we have to operate our lives freely and unmolested and be able to travel on our way. They want to take that away and give it over to the deep state and give it over to the globalists. And in my opinion, that's what a huge portion of this autonomous vehicle pushes for, is to completely strip us of our rights to be able to travel freely, unmolested on our way, Dad.
I agree with you. That's the whole point of all of this, is to say, oh, we can't let you have cars anymore. They're too dangerous. We have to take them away from you. It's crazy. Oh, by the way, according to a British newspaper, the Kim's fate is sealed in North Korea, that the elite U.S. Navy SEAL squad that killed Osama bin Laden, which we now know that's not true. In fact, of course, we knew that at the very beginning that wasn't true. He died of kidney failure back in the early 2000s. They're training in South Korea to take out Kim Jong-un. SEAL Team 6 has been taking part in drills in South Korea as tensions with Kim regime mount, according to reports. The crack U.S. Navy SEAL team that killed Osama bin Laden is reporting training. They're taking secret little drills. So we'll see if this is even true, if this is more obfuscation. Quite frankly, it's going to be very difficult for them to put someone like the SEAL team into this area with all of the troops that North Korea is able to put around this dictator. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, in my opinion, I think it's very negligent on their part. If they really are getting SEAL teams together, if they really are actively training them for theater combat for this scenario, I find it quite negligent that they're reporting on this and blasting it out on mainstream, that they're actually getting ready for it. You talk about giving away your position before you even get there. It's pretty ridiculous, but it wouldn't surprise me at all with some of these idiot liberals that post this stuff. But I don't know, man. This whole thing with North Korea is very strange to me. Like I said, there's a lot of obfuscation that I think is going on. Also, too, this is something that most people didn't even hear about. You guys know Ben Carson. Trump made him head of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. One of his first acts that he did was he ordered an audit of the entire agency. Well, it just got released now, and nobody's even talking about it, that he has found now $520 billion that have disappeared through HUD. He said the total amount of errors corrected in HUD's notes and consolidated financial statements were $516 billion, plus another $304 billion, respectively. There were also several other unresolved audit matters which restricted our ability to obtain sufficient, appropriate evidence. Another $4.2 billion in non-pooled loan assets from Ginnie Mae's standalone financial statements that we could not audit due to inadequate support. The audit report contains 11 material weaknesses, 7 significant deficiencies, and 5 instances of non-compliance with applicable laws and regulations. The auditor said the continued problems we continue to see is an inability to establish a compliant control environment and implement adequate financial accounting systems. This is what we have seen, guys, all over the place, rampant in the government. It's just frivolous spending, frivolous loss, absolute wasted funds, and on top of that, a lot of the stuff disappears, and we know when this money disappears, it's always going somewhere, and in my opinion, a lot of it gets funneled in to the black deep state that nobody knows about, because when you start losing hundreds of billions of dollars, and it just disappears out of thin air, people go, oh, I don't know where it went, we don't know, oh, the Pentagon lost $10 trillion, I don't know where that went, we got misplaced, maybe in the closet over there, we don't know. Are you kidding me, guys? They really think the American population is that dense in the brain? We just think they just lose billions and trillions of dollars and nobody happens to know where it went. It just got lost in the thin air. Give me a break, man. This has been the entire conspiracy of the entire financial system since 1913, giving the Federal Reserve the ability to control the finances, not allow them to be audited, to print money out of nothing, trying to turn around and have no accountability at all and not have to report to anybody because they're their own entity. They don't even have to report the United States president. As I told you the other day, they can't even be audited. They're above the law. They're above the country. They do whatever they want. And we see this now in all these government things like HUD now. I mean, we know that the welfare system, the housing issues, the free food stamps, all this stuff has been rampant with all types of just people going in and it just exploiting it, including the illegal immigrants that have been coming in now and getting hundreds of billions of dollars now over the last years and free support from the government. This is the kind of stuff that has to completely stop immediately. If this continues to go this route, it will collapse the country regardless. We're already on a banana peel, on a tightrope, trying to hang in there, and the only thing that's propped us up is the fact that everybody thinks we're about to go to war again, and that they continue to throw all this money into the reserve banks and make the stock market look like it's going up, 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 and artificially inflating it just like they do the housing market. That's the only reason everything hasn't collapsed already. As soon as this stuff starts to get pulled out like a deck of cards, it's over with. That's why I've told everybody already. It's not a if, it's when this whole thing comes down on top of everybody. So it's up to you to be ready for it. It's up to you to have what you need in place, whether it's food, water, ammo, whatever you need, you know what you need. It's up to you to have it ready. Because once it happens, it's going to be absolutely catastrophic, and there's nobody there is going to be able to help anybody, guys. Everybody's going to be on their own except for the Patriot Movement that's going to come together and support everybody. But the Patriot Movement is not going to want to come together and support everybody that's been sitting on their butt for the last 10 years, not doing anything at all except eating Cheetos and playing video games and wasting their money and not getting anything together. I've gotten so tired of hearing people, oh, well, you know, if it starts going bad, I'm going to go to the store and buy some food. Okay. You're going to go to the store and buy some food. Say you successfully get to the store and you're able to buy some food or steal some food. What are you possibly going to be able to pull out in a shopping cart? A week's worth of food? Maybe 2 weeks worth of food if you load it down, absolutely stuff it? Okay, you got 2 weeks worth of food now that you happen to steal and you didn't get shot, stabbed, or arrested while you're trying to steal it. Okay, then what? That's the problem, guys. Nobody wants to think more than 2 or 3 days ahead in their life anymore because we're all so wrapped up in McDonald's, iPhones, iPads, everything. Right now, I want to have it right now. I don't care what happens tomorrow. I want this right now. Nobody wants to think about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, even months down the road. It's time everybody starts to tighten their belt and figure out what we need to do to get ready and in turn be able to help one another and support the entire Patriot Movement by having our own supplies, our own stash, our own gear, and being able to support everybody in unison and be able to support this country, Dad.
I agree. By the way, Pierce Morgan actually asked a legitimate question about the attack in Egypt. He was on Fox the other night. Now, I remember Pierce Morgan is the one Alex Jones had the big blowout a few years ago over guns in the Second Amendment, and that's when poor Pierce Morgan was on CNN. He had taken the slot that Larry King, who I know very well, had when he left CNN. Pierce Morgan took it, drove the numbers into the final coffin, and was basically let go. But he asked why the U.S. media won't cover the fact that there's Christian genocide going on globally by radical Muslims. On Monday, Pierce Morgan asked an incredibly insightful question on Fox News Tucker Carlson Tonight. Why are American journalists essentially ignoring the massacre in Egypt? Here's the pertinent portion of the exchange between this and here's what happened. Carlson, you sent out a tweet right after this bombing in Egypt saying this will not get the attention of massacres in Europe, but it should. Why won't it, do you think? Morgan, I think unfortunately if it happens in the Middle East, this kind of atrocity is just not seem to attract the kind of media attention in America that it would happen if we saw it in Sweden, like last 2 days, or in London a few weeks ago. I was here for that. Huge attention in America, media. In Paris and Nice, these get huge attention, and yet what happened in Egypt was unbelievably significant. If you look at what ISIS really stands for and what they're carrying out in the Middle East, and Egypt in particular, it's kind of a genocidal attack on Christians and Christianity. This is remember I'm saying this. They want Christianity eradicated. They want to convert all Muslims to their crusade, and they want it to be a holy war. They want Christians gone, and I don't think that narrative is getting the attention it should in the Christian media. Carlson says, what's so strange in the West is primarily Christian. predominantly. I mean, that's what makes it the West. And yet there's this sense that somehow wrong to root for the home team when something happens to Christians abroad. It's somehow, I don't know, impolite to mention it because it's self-interested. Have you noticed this? Morgan, right. ISIS shouldn't be, she couldn't be more transparent after the attack in St. Petersburg last week. They made it absolutely clear this is a war against the cross. They have said that. That is what the statement said. They are at war in their heads with Christianity, not just with Christianity. They're at war with all other religions as well, but they have been singling out in increasingly virulent terms the real war is now against Christians and the cross. I think this is a huge story. This is the kind of story that ought to be dominating cable news in America. It should be dominating headlines around the world. The press in America should be full of headlines about this. This narrative to me is very straightforward. ISIS has declared war on Christianity. I'm not seeing that being covered anywhere. What do you think about that, Oz?
No, it's exactly right. It's another part of what we've talked about as far as obfuscation, what's going on. That's been going on for quite some time, and nobody wants to address it. Nobody wants to bring it up, and it's a significant problem. All we want to do over here is comply and submit to the ridiculous satanic religion of Islam and not offend anybody. It's nauseating to me, Dad, that nobody wants to bring that up. I'm really glad you brought it up today because we haven't talked about it in a while, and we need to start bringing it up more to bring it to everybody's attention because it's not something that most people even know about because the mainstream media, as you just said, they refuse to touch base on any of it whatsoever.
Gerald Celente is with us. Gerald, you with me?
I'm with you.
Thank you, Gerald. Gerald, we're talking about what happened with the massacre in Egypt. We're talking about how the media is not covering it right now. We're talking about with Trump. We're talking about North Korea, Syria. You're the author, the president of Trends Journal. You're the one who stays abreast of all of this stuff, what's going on globally. What's going on? Have we been trumped by Trump? Is he for real? What's happening in his administration? Why is he currently beating the war drums, Gerald?
Well, those are a lot of questions. Let's start with the with what's going on. I believe it's a military takeover of the government. And I don't say that in an empty words. I say it with fact. Look at the people that he's appointed to run the Defense Department, National Security Agency, Homeland Security. He's brought in generals and members of the military-industrial complex. Period, paragraph. And what he's done an Obama in the sense that just as Obama lied his way into office and promised to be a anti-war president, Trump has done basically the same thing. And, you know, you read his tweets and his comments, you know, about Syria and Libya and, you know, how he didn't want any more foreign entanglements. And, you know, he's changed it. And now he just keeps talking more and more war talk. And particularly what's going on now with North Korea. And people only know one side of what's going on. For example, North Korea has been asking to sit down with the United States now for years and try to bring this thing to a solution. And the fact is that the United States and South Korea are instigating what's going on over there with these massive military maneuvers that are going on that North Korea is saying, please stop. And China, by the way, is also saying to the United States and South Korea, stop with these massive military maneuvers. What if North Korea and China came onto the Gulf of Mexico or off San Diego or Newport and with massive military maneuvers to show their strength? The United States would bomb them out of the waters, making up an excuse. You know, that they did something that warranted a military strike. So then you look what's going, these are facts. What's going on in China, the United States put up this THAAD missile system in South Korea. And China's saying this is a lot of baloney. You're not putting this there because of North Korea. You're putting this there against us. It would be like a massive military system up in Canada aimed at the United States. So China's now fighting with South Korea. And what they're doing is the business of the world is business. South Korea's biggest client in business is China. Now take a look at Hyundai, take a look at Kia, take a look at their car sales going down 9-12% since China's put on more restrictions against South Korea because of their military posture with the United States. It's what Eisenhower warned us about, the military-industrial complex. Here's a quote by our defense secretary, John, quote, Mad Dog Mattis. Could you imagine an adult calling himself Mad Dog?
No, it's ridiculous.
You go into Afghanistan, you got guys who slap women around for 5 years because they don't wear a veil. You know, guys like that ain't got no manhood left anyway, so it's a hell of a lot of fun to shoot them. Actually, it's quite fun to fight them, you know? It's a hell of a hoot. It's fun to shoot some people. I'll be right up there with you. I like brawling. End quote. Where's the guy with the straight jacket grabbing this guy and putting him into an insane asylum?
That's right. No,
so
you're right.
So you ask me what's going on, and then you got Trump. This is a guy that went to military school. We're the same age. You know, when I was a kid, the worst thing, when you they couldn't control you, you little SOB, had enough of your crap, you're going to military school.
It's true.
As a matter of fact, one of my books, what Zizi gave Honey Boy, Z-I-Z-I, that's the Neapolitan dialect for auntie, I write about how we were kids growing up in the Bronx, and they finally said they had enough. They packed us into the car and they drove us to the botanical gardens. We saw these big gates. My father got out of the car. I write about this in my book years ago. And they told us it was military school. And we're crying, we'll be good, we'll be good. Trump had to go to military school. What does a teenage boy want to do? Well, if he's not transgender, you know, or straight, if he's straight, all he wants are girls and cars and sports. Trump is this rich, rich kid. And he's so arrogant, he's so narcissistic, they send him to military school. And here he is, all dressed up in military drag, playing that he knows how to fight. This is what we're dealing with. A narcissistic little boy who's lost it. And when you listen to his language, I'm going to get tough. His little boy Eric, shooting his mouth off. Another little guy with cojones smaller than a mothball, telling how tough his father is. Hey, tough? What do you mean tough? You mean you could shoot your mouth off or get other people to do your dirty work, Junior? This is what we're dealing with.
Wow. So let me ask you a question, okay? I heard you on a show here a while back with Jeff Rentz, which is also, by the way, this show is also heard on the Rentz Network. I want you to tell, you said on Jeff Rentz's show that you were still, you know, tentatively supporting Trump. This is several months ago. But if he decided to increase his war effort and start increasing troop strength or take us back to war with these countries in the Middle East or around the world, even North Korea, that you have to reevaluate your stance with Trump. Have you completely gotten off the Trump train now, Gerald? Are you done with it? Are you thinking we just got basically hoodwinked again like we did with Obama?
Yeah, I'm totally off. And again, what I said was, okay, you know, by their deeds you shall know them.
That's right.
I agreed with, you know, whether or not I agreed with his economic policy, which I don't, I said it would be strong for the economy. I'm not in favor of deregulation so the banks could steal more of our dough where they could poison the planet. But I know that that's going to be effective toward building corporate profits. So I look at it as a business guy, so it's going to be good for the markets as well as tax cuts. And the infrastructure rebuilding is a lot of baloney. It's only $1 trillion out of 10 years. That's no money at all. $100 billion a year out of a $4 trillion nearly budget doesn't account for much. So that's what I was saying. And if he stays by these things of no foreign entanglements, I'm all for him in that aspect. Because also, as you know, I launched Occupy Peace, Ted. I closed down the streets over here in Colonial Kingston, New York. I had Ralph Nader, Cindy Sheehan, you know, the woman who camped out in front of George Bush's place for months. His son was killed in Iraq. Dr. Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father. Gary Null from New York City, well renowned for his work. So I put my money where my mouth is. This cost me a lot of dough to make this thing happen. So when I talk about peace, I'm not like these guys, these little boys that never fought. I'm not a pacifist either. I'm a close combat practitioner. I had my own school for many years. I'll attack the attacker. But I try to avoid fights at any cost because I know the outcome of them. You never know what the outcome is. That's the outcome.
Right. That's the truth.
I don't care how good you think you are. You never know what's going to happen. So when I hear these little boys of nothing talking tough, I don't want to hear it.
Tell me about Jared Kushner. Is he the new president of the country? I mean, has he taken over him and Queen Ivanka? What the heck's going on with that mess?
Who is this kid? This little nobody of nothing. And he's out there all over the place. He's going to Iraq. Who is this guy? I'll tell you who he is. When Netanyahu from Israel came to visit one time, he stayed at Kushner's father's house. You know, so that's what we're looking at over. Who is this guy? Who put him in charge? What's going on here? How come there's no outrage that we got the president's son-in-law, all of a sudden the international expert on foreign policy? Oh, yeah, he has real long list of credentials. Yeah, here's your credential. You were born into a billionaire family, man. And you were born on third base, and like your father-in-law, who's also born on third base, you both thought you hit home runs. That's who he is.
Well, tell me, because, you know, he's involved, with the Shabbat cult of Judaism. It's basically only a few 100,000 members on the planet, and they're heavily involved with Mossad. And also, you know, the Mossad, you know, we know that through the Shabbat cult's been involved in drug money, drug running, drug trafficking, you know, money laundering, etc. You think there's any tie-in with that, Gerald?
I don't know the details inside. I read about them. So I don't comment on things I don't have the hard facts on. I do, nothing surprises me of their entanglements with Mossad. Yeah, how about murder? That's another one you left out. You know, I mean, they're pretty big on that one too.
Well, tell us about the Kushner family if you know anything about that. As far as, you know, we know that his father was in jail, and we know that Chris Christie put him in jail, and we know as kind of retribution, Chris Christie's been blocked out of this entire administration. I mean, what's going on with that entire Kushner family? Is it true that it was very difficult to get real estate deals done in their area unless you went through them, and were they linked to the mafia or the mob in that area, or do you have any idea?
You know, I again, from what I read, you know, the Soros money going into it and other things. It's a club, man. And that's what this whole thing is. It's one closed club, and we're not in it.
That's
and
true.
Around the country, you have all these different kinds of clubs. So,
okay.
Again, and as you pointed out, his father went to jail for tax evasion, I believe, and lying or something. I'm not sure of the exact details. I forgot what they are. I knew what they were one time. But there's so much coming out. But again, who the hell put this guy in charge of foreign policy in our government, and why isn't there outrage that of this nepotism that's being pushed and shoved down our throat with his daughter and son-in-law?
No, you're absolutely right. Now, what do you think about the Syrian attack last week when Trump launched the 59 cruise missiles into Syria on a supposedly, allegedly sarin gas attack that we have no idea who actually did it? We have no idea if it's even sarin gas. Why was he doing this? Was it to basically show that he was going to be strong against the Russians, Gerald? Was it because Jared Kushner told him to do it? It's because Ivanka told him to do it? I mean, why in the world would he be so reckless to do something like this? It's just a drop of a hat.
All right, let's talk about the last thing, one of the things you said. Why would he be so reckless? Let's go back to campaign 2016. When we called him a winner in the Trends Journal in May of 2016, we said what the only thing that could defeat him was a wild card, and there was no more wild a card than him. He is, look by their deeds, you shall know them. This guy shoots off his mount, does what he wants to do, has very limited thought values in terms of depth, and what it is, it's a neocon takeover of the administration. And by the way, you mentioned Kushner before, very, very involved from the reports of being more involved in the Middle East and very in favor of these. And again, the military-industrial complex being in control. What did it cost? $100 million for a failed strike that accomplished nothing other than hatred? There, as you well know, I mean, you're up to date on these things, that there was no reason for Assad to do that. The Russians were controlling 80% of the country. They were making great strides in getting rid of the so-called moderate rebels, a picture of whom we've never been able to see these, what a moderate rebel looks like.
That's right.
You know, so it was a strike to cause further destabilization in the Middle East. And here's what I'm forecasting, by the way. We're talking about Kushner and talking about their ties to Israel. I believe, go back to the campaign. Trump, again, shooting off his fat mouth during the campaign about how we gave, you know, what, Iran a couple of, you know, $1 billion or something, you know, back, you know, $100 billion, and how could we have done this? It was their money. The United States stole that money after it went, when the Shah fell. So you heard talking about the worst deal ever made. This is the worst deal ever made. This is the worst deal ever made. All right, the worst deal ever made. Iran has not invaded a country, I think, in 250 years. They threw out the Shah. Anybody knows this, that the Shah was put in 1953 when the United States, the CIA, and the MI6, the UK, overthrew the democratically elected government of in Iran. And what they did was, this guy who became the president had the nerve to nationalize the oil fields. Remember, this is after World War II.
That's right.
And British Petroleum, better than known as Anglo-Iranian Oil, and Standard Oil, better known today as ExxonMobil, of who our Secretary of Defense was former president of, they threw them out. They said, you guys can stay, but we own the oil. Mossadegh, that was his name, Mossadegh. Mm-hmm. And so they overthrew Mossadegh. And so when the Shah got overthrown, we knew it was going to be real because the people hated this guy. I used to read about it, you know, as a young guy, the Savak, the secret police. You know, it was the equivalent of the SS. So going back, when the revolution happened in Iran, you know, all they did was overthrow a dictator that the United States and the UK put into place.
That's correct.
So now I believe there's going to be go back again to Netanyahu. Remember him drawing his cartoon bombs in the UN several years ago?
Yep.
The fuse was ready to go off on the nuclear bomb in Iran. I believe that Israel is going to start an incident with Iran. They'll blame Iran for doing the incident when Iran retaliates. And America's going to get involved in a war with Iran. That's the way we're focusing this out.
Now, do you think Israel's pretty much running the policy of the United States and Israel through their Zionist cohorts here in our government?
Never stop. All right, here, Ted. Everybody in America and the prostitute media are shooting off their fat mouths about how terrible it is to use gas on these poor babies and how it's against international law. Hey, you know, Ted, it's okay to cluster bomb people. That's all right. You know, depleted uranium in the bombs. Hey, that's cool. But don't pass gas. That's really, you know, it's so World War I sarin gas. You know, how could they do such a terrible thing? United States killed over 1 million people in Iraq on a war based on lies. Afghanistan. Read Bush's speech to the nation 9 days after 9/11. I broke it down in one of my trends journals. I began it by saying only a madman would speak these words, and only people dumbstruck with fear would believe them, and believe they did. You want to talk about breaking international law? How about America violating international law with the war against Iraq, the war going on in Yemen, the war in Afghanistan? International law? How about Israel gets away with breaking international law anytime they want by throwing out the BS line that God was a real estate agent and the Bible was a land deed? He gave us this land. Oh, we could steal anything we want. And nobody condemns Israel for violating international law continually. So, of course, you could see what the deal is. This has been going on since basically forever.
Well, you know, you're right, Gerald, and we've talked about this before, because the Christians were starting to get brainwashed back in the late mid-1800s with the Scofield Bible, you know, promoting Zionism, which has been owned, you know, which is owned by the Oxford Press, which I'm sure is controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel and one of their corporate takeovers of something somewhere. And the crazy thing about this is that, you know, I know that on my show, and we've had Chuck Baldwin on here multiple times. In fact, I sent you one of his newsletters last night. I don't know if you had a chance to read it yet or not.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Very, very detailed. And very detailed information.
And he calls it out as far as what's going on and what's going on with Zionism. And we have too. The problem is the Christian right has been so brainwashed into believing exactly what you said, that Israel gets a pass on no matter what they do, and they get to kill no matter who they want to kill. The media won't even talk about the air raids that Israel continually does into Syria and all of the bombings they continue to do. I mean, it's crazy this is going on, and it never seems to end. Tell me about John McCain. You disrespect this guy as much as the rest of us do. I mean, tell me what you really think about John McCain, and is Hillary ever going to go to prison?
I doubt if Hillary will ever go to prison, and because it's a neo-feudal society. You have different rules for the political nobility and the economic elite. Period, paragraph. You didn't see one head roll from the crimes committed by Wall Street. You don't see any crimes committed by Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barack, quote, "I'm really good at killing people," Obama.
God, you're right.
You don't see anybody. Yeah. It's a neo-feudal society. Ted, you're driving down the road. You don't have one of your lights are out. The cops pull you over. Let me see your license and registration. Where'd you come from? Do you have any drinks? I had two. Get out of the car. Put your hands on your head. Close your eyes and recite the alphabet backwards. I'm not BSing, man. It's a neo-feudal society, punishment to the fullest for we the little people. Wow. And a slap on the wrist for the economic elite and the political nobility. Let's call a spade a spade. Wow. Oh, and I could say that now that Obama's not president. Because I would be called racist if I said it before. In this politically correct transgender world where you could slaughter people and it's okay. But hey, watch your language. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And you talked about the Rothschild group. Look at the little boy running, a little Obama running for president over there in France, Emmanuel Macron. Yeah, a Rothschild banker boy being shoved down the people's throats, and it shows you there's morons everywhere in the world. They're buying into it. And then you go about McCain.
Yep.
There's another guy. There's a guy, what did he graduate last in his class in Annapolis? Not that I'm against that. I got left back in the fifth grade and barely got out of high school. You know, so I wouldn't condemn anybody for that. But this is a guy that he would have been washed out of the military a long time if his grandfather and father were in admirals. A loser. Crash planes, and this fat mouth shooting his mouth off about how terrible it is to be using gas against people. Hey, McCain, it was okay when you were dropping bombs on innocent Vietnamese, on another war started on lies by pieces of crap like John May, your rotten hell McNamara? Oh, it was okay when you were killing people, huh? And I said before Trump, a long time ago, that McCain is no war hero.
That's
you're
right.
Not a war hero when your plane gets shot down. You're a victim.
I agree. Do you think McCain is involved with the neocons as far as the
communist
policy?
Yeah, of course. Him and that other guy, Lindsey.
Lindsey Graham.
Another little boy of nothing.
Well, Ruth Bader
Ginsburg. Maybe a little girl of nothing. I'm not sure.
That's what Ruth Bader Ginsburg called him yesterday. She called him the woman of Lindsey Graham, thought he was a woman. And that was a pretty good call out, I thought, by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who I don't really like anything she ever said or just stood for, but she finally said something right. But Gerald, tell us how people can get your information. Tell us about the Trends Journal. Tell us how we can buy these journals from you, how we can enroll on these programs. Give us your website, your phone numbers, all that stuff you have.
Yes, trendsresearch.com, and it's more than just a trends journal. We do a Trends in the News broadcast each weekday night. We have a Trends Monthly, Trends Alerts each week, and also, of course, we have Weekly Fried. Is Anthony Fried, a great illustrator. You look at the cover of the current Trends Journal.
Gorgeous.
You go to our website, trendsresearch.com, Crusader Trump, and... also, you know, when we're talking about Syria, we wrote Ted in detail going back to 2011 with the beginning of the overthrow of Assad, all the way through with all the phony reports on the gas attacks, how the United Nations said that Al-Qaeda did them and not the Syrian government, and other reports coming out by people such as... I just drew a blank on his name. Hirsch. What's his name?
Seymour Hirsch.
Seymour Hirsch, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Did an in-depth study.
He did,
showing,
excellent.
And the United States, they wouldn't even publish it, about how it was, people in the United States and Turkey have been supporting Al-Qaeda, basically. And that's the other thing. You want to know about, look at the Taliban. Who supported the Taliban? It was Jimmy Carter to get the Russians out of there back in 1970s.
That's right. That's
he exactly created right. the he created the Mujahideen.
He did.
That was Bin Laden.
That's right.
People forget that these are the murderers, and little Jimmy Carter, and he puts on that arrogant attitude with all the blood on his hands too. Oh yeah, but I believe in Jesus. He gives you, you know. And by the way, this is Easter weekend. How about people talking about the Prince of Peace in the way it should be elevated if you are a Christian?
That's right. I agree
with you. Rather than these phony little boys like Carter and the rest of them with blood on their hands and play the Christian card.
No, I can't even agree with you anymore. In fact, we talk about Christianity all the time on our show, and I always say that, look, the Christians have to wake up. And the most important thing is that we love one another, and running around killing people indiscriminately and having millions dead in war crimes that you basically just implement yourself with no reason whatsoever, except you want to steal their oil or put in a central bank controlled by the Rothschilds in their country, is not a good reason to be killing people and calling yourself a Christian. It doesn't work that way. But you're absolutely right. A lot of Christians have basically capitulated, again, because of the Zionist lies. Because of what's happened with the Scofield Bible, because everybody's been told no matter what Israel does, we have to give them a pass. And so you're right. The Christians have to wake up, and we talk about that all the time on this show, and that we have to understand that we have to be pleasing to God with what we do, and going around and killing and bombing people is not okay. I was so disgusted yesterday when I was doing our show and I was talking about the barrel bombs that Trump was talking about and how bad they are. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, what about these missiles that we drop indiscriminately and what Israel drops and all these cluster bombs they drop and the cluster bombs that we drop? But nobody wants to talk about any of that, Gerald. We just want to blame it all on Assad. And Assad hasn't done anything but told Qatar they couldn't put a pipeline through his country. That's what started all of this mess with him, you know, years ago with the CIA trying to overthrow him. It's a giant mess over there. We've got a few more minutes. Go ahead. Give me your closing thoughts there, Joel. I want to hear how you want to wrap the show up.
Yeah, so again, our website's trendsresearch.com, and we know people are having a difficult time out there. It's only $99 a year. But if you add a worker in difficulty, there's a discount request page. We try to make the Trends Journal available to everyone. And in closing, again, this is Easter, and the people that call themselves Christians, if you're going to, I was raised Catholic, Don't be a hypocrite about it, and don't use God's name in vain if you're going to claim to be a Christian. Live by the morality of what was preached to us and any other religion that you believe in, rather than distorting it for your own sick reasons. And finally, quote, America does not go abroad in search of monsters to destroy. She is the well-wisher to freedom and independence of all. She is the champion and vindicator only of her own. And that, of course, was John Quincy Adams, U.S. Secretary of State at the time, July 4th, 1821. So here we have these people that are saying what we have to do in our foreign countries. They are a disgrace to this nation, and they are totally opposed to everything that this nation was founded upon by our founding fathers. And a major feature of this nation was it was not supposed to be run by the military. And now it is.
Well, I was talking to Doug Hagman the other night. By the way, he wants you on his show. He's got a huge, huge listeners, like 3 million people a night. I talked to him the other day, Joel. He wants you on the air. And he basically told me the other day that he was contacted by one of the top military people who does research, and they said that we've pretty much had what he called, exactly what you said at the beginning of the show, the military has taken over the government, period, through the CIA. And that's exactly what we see right now, and they're running everything through the deep state. Gerald, I want to thank you for being my guest today. I just, as always, I appreciate when you come on the show and talk to the listeners. I want to thank you for being a patriot. For being a gentleman. I want to thank you for respecting God and your beliefs and telling us about that, to respect God and our beliefs also. I also want everybody, I want to encourage everybody to get a copy of the Trends Journal. Again, as Gerald said, if you can't afford the Trends Journal, go to the request page for a discount to try to get that. It's $99 a year. I highly recommend that everybody reads it. It's got some fascinating information in it when it comes out. Gerald, thank you again so much for being on the show today. God bless you, my brother, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ted.
Thanks, buddy. Guys, thank you so much for listening again today. I'm going to let Austin close the show. Wow, what a show. You guys will be talking about this one for a while. Send us an email. Send in your comments to us. Let us know what you want to think. And please support Gerald Celente. God bless you guys.